Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God has a plan?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you can know the plan?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you can get in on the plan?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. You don't have to be left out in the cold. When you came into the kingdom, the cold war was over. You came into the light, the heat of the light. No longer out in the cold, praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You'll have to meditate on that. Some of you didn't get it, but praise God. over the last few weeks, we were looking at several things, and one of the things we found out was that Satan was thrown out of heaven twice. He was thrown out when Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning," and he was thrown out when Jesus was ascended into heaven and came home with the authority of God, and he was thrown out once again. Thrown out of heaven twice. And the time's coming when he'll be thrown out of the earth. And there will be no longer a place found for him. And righteousness will dwell upon the earth. Isn't that right? Jesus is the man in heaven representing all believers. He's the head of all authority, both on the earth and in heaven. Hallelujah. When God created man back in the book of Genesis, we see that God gave man dominion and authority. But man lost that to Satan. But then Jesus came and won it all back. Praise God. Tells you about that in Romans chapter 5. And now man is to walk in that authority and drive back the darkness in his own life. You know, we know that Jesus is the light of the world. We know that we have the light of God in us. But are you walking in it is the whole question. It's not about what you have. See, Pastor Morgan talked about you were made the righteousness of God at the new birth, which is good for your eternity. But what about your everyday walking around breathing life? You got to walk in that righteousness. Isn't that right? You got to walk it out. You got to practice it. And it's called practical righteousness or sanctification. So Jesus is the light, but we have to walk in the light. First John said, "As for you, the anointing abides in you," but then he said, "You abide in him."
Yes.
Amen. Well, how does the anointing abide in us? Never leaves you, never forsakes you. When was the last time you showed up? It's like I always said, I had a great algebra teacher in high school, so they told me. I just never showed up. So I didn't pass algebra in my freshman year. I didn't pass algebra in summer school. And finally, as a sophomore, I passed algebra. And then I became a junior and wound up with the same teacher teaching geometry. I said, "I'm done." I transferred high schools. I went and majored in music just so I could graduate. So it's not about having the best teacher. And there's nobody better than the Holy Spirit. But it's about, are you listening? Are you paying attention? The things of God don't just, "Oh, look at that. Look what happened. I think that's God." You don't have a clue. You should know before things even show up. You know, the Apostle Paul said, we were going to Asia to preach the word, but the Spirit of God forbade us. He knew. He was on his way to Rome, and he said to the centurion, "I don't think we ought to get on the ship. It's going to be danger to our lives and to the ship." He knew. So many people don't have a clue before things happen. And because things go good, they think it's God. It could be the devil setting you up for the evil day of power. I'm just saying. I know that sounds a little strong, but if you don't wake up, he's going to get you and get you good, and you'll have no way out. I'm trying to help you. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So Jesus won back the authority, so we don't walk in happenstance. Happenstance, is that what it is? Happenstance? Well, I don't know what that. Happenstance? Thank you. A voice from the wilderness. I need help with English. See, that's not the leadership of the Holy Ghost. That is for an unbeliever. It is for a carnal person that don't know anything about God. But I suggest you get to know him.
Yes.
And get to know his voice. And stop being so surprised when things happen. Hallelujah. Jesus won back the authority, and man is supposed to walk in authority on the earth. In the Old Testament, only the prophets, the priests, and the kings could walk in authority, but yet they never knew God on a personal relationship. In the New Testament, all believers have the potential to live in authority and have a personal relationship with the Lord. And potential is an important word. Just because you have that potential doesn't mean you're doing it. I have the potential to lift weights. I just haven't done it in a while. Are you with me? Go to Daniel chapter 10. Let's look at some things in the Word of God. The bottom line is that darkness is no match for the light. And we can all hallelujah that and say, yes, that's great. But what about in my life? He's no match for the light, which is Jesus, the light of the world. He's no match. But what about in my life? How much of a match is it in my life? Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. He says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message. And he had an understanding of the vision. So Daniel was a prophet of God, right? And the Jews are returning from captivity, and they're beginning to rebuild the temple, Jerusalem. And Cyrus, who was a Syrian, he inherited the throne from his father. And the king of Babylon abandoned his one-half-century treaty that he had with the Medes, and he made a treaty with Cyrus. So he gave Cyrus freedom to move against the Medes, who were ruled by his grandfather. And Cyrus conquered them in 550 AD. And this formed the new Medo-Persian Empire, controlling the entirety of Iran. And he defeated the Anatolian kingdom of Lydia and Ionia. And in 5 years, he consolidated his control over northeastern Iran. And it paved the way for his crowning achievement, which was the conquest of Babylon in 539 BC. And except for Egypt, all of the Near East was under the control of the Persians when Cyrus died. And Cyrus was one of the greatest conquerors in world history. Amen. And you know, Cyrus, we know that God talks about Cyrus in Isaiah 45. And he said, I will give you the riches of darkness. Isn't that right? Now, that doesn't mean that Cyrus was a believer, but God used him. You know, God can use people that aren't believers. Here's a clue to you. He used a donkey. God can use who God wants to use. And he used Cyrus. Amen. So then Daniel, right here in chapter 10, verse 1, he's about 87 years old, and he gets a vision. A word or a message from the Lord. And it was of great conflict, which means it was one of warfare, and it was hard. It was meant difficult service. The implication of it is that the period in view is a long and strenuous period, and one involving great conflict and trouble for the people of God. Now, Daniel receives this word at what? 87 years old. And you think you were done at 60? You think you were done at 70? You think you're ready to go retire and get on a boat and float away? You're just running from God. God's got stuff he wants to do, and as long as you're on the earth and breathing, he wants to use you and stop running away. Okay. Praise God. So at Daniel's age of 87, what brings about this vision to Daniel? So let's look in verse 2 and 3. It says, in those days I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. So you know what that means when it says he doesn't use any ointment? It means he smelled like he was fasting. See, remember when Jesus said about the in Matthew chapter 6, and he talked about the three acts of righteousness, which was prayer, giving, and fasting, and he said, don't fast like the hypocrites do. Well, they would fast, and everybody knew they were fasting. See, Jesus said, put on some anointment. Use some deodorants. Don't let people know. Okay? All right? So here's Daniel now. He says, I've been mourning for 3 entire weeks. Now, since a youngster, and we see this through the book of Daniel, he prayed for Israel. That's why he wound up in the lion's den, remember? He was praying for Israel. And he was praying for Israel to go home from captivity. And this Persian emperor, Cyrus, he decreed that the Jews could return back to Jerusalem. But only a small minority availed themselves to this God-given opportunity. He's setting the Jews free, but they're not all taking the opportunity. You know, not all believers want the opportunity to be free in the kingdom. They still like their old vices and their old way of living, their old way of talking, their old way of acting. Don't shout me down. But God's given them an opportunity to step into freedom. And those that did return, actually, to Jerusalem, they had much trouble. They had opposition in rebuilding the temple. They had a lot coming against them. So Daniel's fasting, and he's praying for his people. He's seeking guidance, instruction, and revelation. Amen. You know, when you pray, you should pray for guidance, instruction, and revelation. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. And, you know, I was just sharing with somebody over the weekend. We had lunch with them, and I was sharing about how I'll get alone with the Lord, and I'll start praying in the Holy Ghost, and then all of a sudden things will start coming up on the inside of me, and I'll open up my Bible, and I'll start looking at things, and I'll start writing things down. And he says, well, you know, you're just interpreting what you were praying. I'm like, yeah, I was praying, and here comes revelation. See, a lot of people say, well, how come I don't get revelation like I used to? Because you don't pray like you used to. You're too busy with other stuff. Don't shout me down. I'm saying it quietly, kindly, lovingly. So Daniel is praying for guidance, instruction, and revelation for his people. Verses 4 through 7. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning, and his eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and his feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words were like the sound of a tumult. Now notice his, go back there for a moment. Notice that his, it says that his feet in verse 6, it says that his feet were like what? Polished bronze. Now a lot of times you'll see a picture of Jesus and his feet aren't polished bronze, but as a dull bronze. And the reason that it's polished bronze is because judgment. It means judgment has come. So this angel is coming with some very, very important things that has to do with judgment. All right, verse 7. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. You know, it's amazing that flesh always runs away from God. Always. Flesh is always scared of God. It doesn't matter if it's the Jews at Mount Sinai, if it's an angel that appears, always afraid. Only Daniel saw this obvious angel. It's a description of a heavenly visitor. And the others knew something was up. They didn't know what it was, but they're not sticking around to find out. They're getting out of there. Amen. Verse 8 and 9. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor. And I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. So this was a great vision, full of majesty. You can imagine this angel showing up and what he looked like. And he said there was no strength left in him. He was pale in the face and weak in the knees. The color has just drained right out of him. Isn't that right? All strength drained out of him, and he's prostrate on the ground under the power of the anointing. And under the power of the anointing of the spoken words and the mighty presence. Notice what it says. Soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Amen. Amen. This is mighty. This is majestic. This is words of power being spoken. Verse 10 and 11. Then behold, a hand touched me, set me trembling on my hands and my knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright. For I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Okay, so he's now made it up to his hands and his knees. And he's not doing yoga. But he still can't stand up until he's told. When he's told to stand up, that gives him the strength to stand up. See, only then could he stand. He's still trembling, but only then did he have the strength to stand. And he's shudder violently. He's shaking. Have you ever been where the presence of God just caused you to I remember being in a ministry line, and this was like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was an ICFM meeting, and Pastor Clyde Oliver was here. And he did a workshop, and at the end of the workshop, he had ministry. And I remember standing right over here to be prayed for, and he was all the way down there. And I started with this. Now, I don't know if it was visible, but I felt like from head to toe, I was just violently shaking all the way. The closer he got, the more I shook. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I knew something was up. Are you with me? Did you ever know anybody in the scriptures that shook before Satan? So who has real power? And this is only an angel. This isn't even the Lord himself. This is an angel. You know, I've known people that would come up like for ministry and all and to have hands laid on them. And they'll say like, I am not going to yield to the power of God. I will not yield. I'll stand and I'm going to stand so I can receive as much as I can. You can't receive on the ground? What's wrong with you? No, I need to have those hands on me continuously and for a long period of time in order to receive. No, you're not receiving. You're stubborn, insubordinate, and obstinate. You're not receiving anything. Nobody in here, and I'm sure nobody on live stream, because the people I'm talking about, I'm sure they're not connected. Are you with me? So, do you think that if you're in the presence of God, you're going to resist? Well, you can. You can resist, but that's insubordination. That's a lack of submission. There's no humility there. Are you with me? Verse 12. Now listen, that doesn't mean that if there's a ministry and you don't fall on the ground, that doesn't mean you're insubordinate and you're obstinate. That's not what I'm talking about here. Because you don't need to fall down to receive from God, right? Okay, so let's make sure we have this straight. We're talking about attitudes of heart. Okay. It says, then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Now we know the reason for Daniel's mourning. He was praying. He was seeking God. You know, this is the importance of faith with prayer. You got so quiet on that. This is the importance of faith with prayer. Not just prayer, faith with prayer. You need both of them. Isn't that right? You know, I know that many of you prayed for me for the procedures that I had to go through on my eyes. And I appreciate that. Thank you. All right? And you actually started praying months ago. Now, I just had the two procedures within April. But you started praying months ago, especially the Tuesday group. You started praying months ago for me because you have to set the path. It's called preparation. You know, it's not like, oh, I have something coming up and the night before I need to pray. You're way late. You got to set the path. Are you with me? So faith of the one being prayed for is important. Now, the deal is different if you're praying for unbelievers. But when it comes to praying for believers, you got to have the person that you're praying for needs to have faith, and your prayer is adding to that faith. Amen. Amen. And this is a key verse to understand many things. When the angel came, Daniel was, when he saw the angel and the vision and the presence came, he just started trembling and shaking, right? And it even says, do not be afraid. Now, many times when angelic beings or even the Lord himself appeared, there was fear under the old covenant. Like I said, the people, God's people, Israel, when they were at Sinai, oh, no, Moses, you go talk to them. Don't talk to us. We don't want to hear about this. Right? Okay, you remember when Jesus walked on the water? And the disciples saw him, and it said that they were in fear, and they thought it was a ghost. Remember that? Okay, and then he spoke a word to them and said, peace, it is I. Right? Well, why? Because they're still walking under the old covenant. When Paul goes to Damascus and he falls to the ground and the Lord appears to him, do you think he's having a bed of roses experience? Who are you, Lord? Paul, he's on a ship and an angel appears to him and says, Paul, do not fear, for we're giving you all of the occupants of the ship. You're going to lose the ship, but all the occupants are going to be saved. And Paul comes down and says, this night an angel of the Lord of God, who I serve. That's an important phrase. Whom I serve. So a lot of people want God to appear and God talk to them, but they just don't want to serve him. He said, the God in whom I serve appeared to me. He wasn't afraid when he appeared. What about Peter when he was up on the rooftop? And he got a vision, and the Lord spoke to him. There wasn't any fear. Why? Because they're on the other side now. They're into the New Testament. They're born again. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. What about when John was on Patmos, and the Lord appears to him, and he sees the whole vision of the Lord, and it says that he fell at his feet to worship him, but he wasn't afraid of him. Right? So there's no fear there in the New Testament. It's just honor and reverence. Amen. The number two things we need to learn from this, he says, from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Your words were heard from the first day. Now, he didn't come for 21 days, but he was heard on the first day. Why was he heard on the first day? He said, he tells you right there, you set your heart on understanding and you humbled yourself. Humility with God is so important. God don't like obstinance. He don't like insubordination. He don't like arrogance. He hates all that. You ought to read Proverbs and just find out through the book of Proverbs what he says about those things. Like strife. He hates strife, division. He hates that. And he hates the one that causes it. He don't like it. Unity is where the blessing dwells. Because you set your heart on these things and you humbled yourself before God. And part of that humbling was he was fasting. It was a tasty fast. He didn't eat anything that tasted good. For me, I would be stuck eating Brussels sprouts because everything else is pretty tasty to me. The angel came in response. You know, a lot of people want to know, why is this taking so long? Why is it taking so long for my answer? Oh, you know, well, you just have to trust God's timing. Oh, God knows what you need, and he knows you need to endure, so you're just going to have to sit and wait. No, the angel said, your words were heard on the first day that you set your heart and you humbled yourself. So why did he not come for 21 days? Did he wait 21 days to come? Or did he come on the first day when Daniel was heard? It says that he came in response to Daniel's words. His words were heard on the first day, and the angel came in response to the day when the words were heard. He did not come because the angel was waiting for something to be said from Father in heaven. Okay, it's been 21 days now. Go ahead, you can go now. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say, the Lord God has dispatched me. It's not what he said. He said, I have come because of your words. Words of faith spoken and a humble heart on earth carries great weight in heaven. Let me say that again. Words of faith spoken and a humble heart on the earth carries much weight in heaven. Those words of faith out of a humble heart was heard in heaven. And when it was heard, that angel came. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. Now, this is an opposition to an angel that came from heaven. So is this human opposition? Is this some king, a human king of the kingdom of Persia that stands against this angel? And a human is no match for an angel. If the devil's no match for an angel, a human is no match for an angel. But this opposing angel, this is a global territorial angel over the kingdom of Persia. And he withstood this angel coming with an answer because he didn't want the answer that the angel was bringing. So he's standing against the messenger of God. And he says here that Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So here comes this angel, and he has an answer for Daniel, and he's on his way to bring it to Daniel, and there's opposing forces standing against him. So Michael is dispatched to help him in this war. Isn't that right? So Michael, who is a chief warring angel, comes to help. So Michael takes over the war battle so that the answer can get through to Daniel. Can you see that? See, in heaven, some angels are messenger angels, and some angels are warrior angels. And in heaven, this is what's different between heaven and the earth. In heaven, everybody knows their place. And there is no competition. And there's no, oh, I'll do that for you, or I'll do that. No. You know your place. You do what you do. Pastor Morgan, you know, he heads up the door greeters, and you're not going to walk over and go, well, I'll be a door greeter today. No. You join the door greeters, and you can be a door greeter. You don't just walk up and go, I'll be a door greeter today. No, sit down. Are you with me? But you don't want to join the, I don't want to join the dog greeters because I don't want to, you know, I just don't want, I don't want to be responsible. There's your problem right there. And that's why you're not on there. You understand what I'm saying, right? This is not just a haphazard once in a while. I think I'll do this today. Sorry, not happening. That's why there's policies and procedures in place. You know, we don't have a big church, but there are people that are still in charge. And you're not it. Thank you for that right. Glory to God. I got one agreement over there. So Michael is a warring angel. This angel was a messenger angel. And they do what they're set to do, and they know their place and do what they're supposed to do. They do not compete with one another. So as the answer is coming, all right, the first day, the word was heard, the answer is on its way, and there is spiritual opposition to this word and direction of God that is coming to Daniel. And darkness is standing in direct opposition to try and hold back the light of deliverance. So then Michael is dispatched to help this angel so that the answer could continue on. Amen. And this is a situation of national importance for this nation that we're talking about right here where Daniel is. So we're not going to have a national, global, demonic opposition against our healing. I'm sorry. Right? But you will have opposition. And the opposition you have is no different than the opposition Daniel has. He's got it on a national scale. You have it on an individual scale. Opposition is opposition. The devil still wants to stand against the word of God. Amen. And you have to understand that and don't whine. Why is this taking so long? Because there's opposition. See, and so many times we forget that there's opposition. We want to live in such a, you know, a world full of lilies and daisies and roses. Well, not today. You will one day, but not today. There's opposition in the world. Jesus even said it, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. And since he's overcome it, you can overcome it. But you have to do what he did to overcome it in your life. Did Daniel have to do spiritual warfare in the heavenly places? Did he rent a helicopter and fly up into the atmospheric heavens and do, we're doing warring? No, didn't have to do any of that. Did he fight against the darkness in the high places? No. Daniel's position was very simple. Stay in faith and stay seeking the Lord before him, humbled in heart. See, what do we do when we start saying things like, well, this is just taking too long. I don't know why it's taking too long. Well, I mean, what's wrong? Doesn't God know? See, you're getting arrogant. You're losing your humility and you're getting arrogant now because now you're questioning God. And actually, you want to tell him to step it up, get it moving, and you're telling him what to do. And that's a little arrogant. No, Daniel's position was to stay in faith and stay seeking before the Lord. The ministering angels, they acted on behalf of the heirs of salvation. See, Daniel is part of God's inheritance. And the angels are going to act on their behalf. Amen. Now, how long was Daniel mourning, praying? 21 days. Well, what if he quit after a week? Well, I guess God didn't hear me. Well, what if he quit after 2 weeks? Well, I guess this isn't working. Well, what if he quit after 2.5 weeks? Well, gee, this stuff just, you know, I don't know why. You know the complaining goes. I don't have to explain that. What if he quit after 20 days? What would have happened? The answer would have turned around and gone back home again. Amen. Are you with me? The answer didn't come as a directive from heaven. It came as a result of Daniel's words. If Daniel changes his words, he goes back home. When you stop believing, your answer stops coming. Amen. You know, Psalm 103:20 says that the angels will, they have strength and they respond to the word of God. With the word of God in your heart, in your mouth, they will respond to it. They come to minister to the heirs of salvation. Isn't that right? You have the authority to speak the word of God on the earth. Not something similar to it, not something like it, not something that points to it. We're not talking about having a shrine of words that just points to something. We're talking about the Word of God, because apart from the Word of God, there is no power. The Word of God is the power of God. So the Word of God has to be in our heart and in our mouth, which will then affect our actions in our life. Amen. And it says that the angels will come in response to those words. Some of y'all's angels are getting tired of playing solitaire. You need to get the word of God going in your heart and in your mouth. Verse 14 through 20. It says, now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, see, when you receive things from God, there should be results. This is not about, oh, that was good. Oh, let me tell you what I heard. No, there should be results in your life if you take what he says. But a lot of people don't take what he says. They hear it and they're like, well, that's pretty neat. But they don't take it. Or they'll hear it and they'll just go, well, I'm just waiting for God to do that. You didn't take it. As a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. So there has to be some kind of a result to the things that we hear. All right, let's go on. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. So now you know why the prince of Persia is fighting against this answer. The answer is about the Grecians coming in and about to come in and destroy the Persian Empire. Now, the Grecians now are going to become the new opposition to Israel. So in Persia, there's opposition to Israel. In Greece, the Grecians, there's opposition to Israel. So the Grecians are going to come in, and then the spirit that will control the Grecians are going to push out the spirit that controls the Persians. Because in the kingdom of darkness, there is no loyalty. There is no love. And in the kingdom of darkness, it does not matter. There's nothing but controversy, competitiveness. See, this is where all this garbage comes from in the body of Christ. This is, comes from the influence of darkness. That you are competing. You're trying to get to be the head dog. You're trying to become the top-notch person. You're trying to become the person with, that gets all the attention. You're competing. You have influence of darkness in your life. And that's serious. Because that's what goes on in the realm of darkness. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. Amen. Amen. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he don't care who it is. He'll do it even to his own. But we can drive back the darkness. And we can allow the light to come forth. Faith. And praying in faith. Darkness is no match for the light. If you have the light working in your life. Amen. A number of years ago, I was in a prayer meeting in church. And I was on staff at the church. And the pastor said to me, so-and-so's father is in the hospital. And I want you to go with him to pray for him to be saved. Because he's close to dying. I'm like, okay. So me and this guy, we leave the prayer meeting and we go to the hospital and I speak to his father and his father gets saved. So we're excited. We're glad about that. Praise God he got saved even at the last minute. We're so glad, rejoicing. And I come back to the church. You know, I'm proud as a peacock. I'm the crowing rooster. Yeah, glory to God, you know. He got saved. Hallelujah. As soon as I walk in the door, they said, what happened? I said, well, you got saved. The first thing they said was, well, we figured he would. We were all praying for you as soon as you left. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that let all the air out of my big fat head. Huh. Yeah, prayer. The man that asked me to go, to ask for prayer for his father had the faith, and then there was prayer behind it. And some people think, well, all you need is prayer. All you need is faith. You don't need prayer. Mm. Well, you big and bad then. When Pastor Nid and I, you know, we left Thailand in 1974. Well, in 1984, we got to go back again. And in going back, we would have to go 3.5 hours out of Bangkok and go up country to see her family. So back in those days in 74, you would drive up to a certain point, like to the town, but then you had to get on the boat with some people. And I'm not talking about a cruise ship either. But you'd have to get on a boat with some people and they would take you down the river to where her family is. Well, they could cut your throat, they could shoot you, they could do anything, throw you in the water, nobody'd ever know about it. So, you know, we'd have to go up there. It was very careful and cautious. I would make sure, I was much darker skin back then, a lot of sun, and I had a full head of hair. So if I kept my head down, I could kind of look like a Thai. You know, black hair, dark skin, you know, just don't look at the round eyes and the big nose and we'd be okay. So in 1984, when we go back, we are in Bangkok, and we're getting ready to go up country, and we're thinking about all of that, and we're praying. You know, I mean, we prayed before we even left the house, before we even got to Thailand. We're praying over a number of things. And we got there, and then we have to take a taxi up to the town. So Pastor Nid says, I believe this is the taxi that we're supposed to take. I'm like, okay, if that's what you believe, that's what we'll do. See, I trust God in her. I don't need to have the final answer. That's stupid. Did I say stupid? See, I trust God in her. And I know that when she says, I believe that this is what we're supposed to do, that witness is in my heart. Good, let's do it. And she'll go down to the taxi driver. She makes the deal with them, tells them this is what we want to do. And the next day, we get in the taxi and we go up country. Well, it turns out that when we get up to the town, a road is built from the town to the back of her father's farm. So we don't have to get on the boat. So we take the taxi going all the way through the backwoods and through the road that was built and all that stuff, okay? But it was the taxi that she believed God wanted us to use. He never complained once because he didn't stop at the town. We were paying him to come to the town, but he went a lot further and went all the way to the farm and never complained once, which was nice. Are you with me? Praying for direction, praying for instruction, praying for revelation. So when we're up there at her father's place, we were up there for 9 days on the farm. And I have to admit, after 9 days, I had to make myself think. You know? This is 9 days of nothing, you know. So we're up there, and we have to come back to Bangkok. Well, there's no taxi to take. Or how are we going to get back? Do we go into town? Do we find a taxi? Do we get on a bus? Going back is going to be a little different than coming up. There's checkpoints and all kinds of stuff that you have to go through. So what are we going to do? So I'm walking through the town one day, and a bus comes down the street, and I look, and there's people on there that looks American. And I'm going like, well, they're on the bus. Why can't we take the bus? If it's good for them, it'd probably be good for us. And the Spirit of God said to me, how do you know the devil don't want to kill them? Maybe he wants to kill you. In other words, are you going to make a decision based on what somebody else is doing? When their life is not your life. And I'm like, well, that's true. I can't make that kind of a decision. So we had to go back and pray and find out what we were supposed to do. Well, we wound up taking the bus back to Bangkok. We wound up going through checkpoints, but head down, black hair, dark skin, you know, and we got through fine. Obviously, we're here. Are you with me? You know, it's important that before you do anything, anything, that you know his will. It should not be a surprise to you. You should know his will before you do anything. And settled in it before you do anything. Because unless you're settled in his will, it's going to be hard to receive his protection. Because the grace of God will never lead you, or the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God can't protect you. But even the protection is not an automatic. If you know you're in the will of God, then you can believe God and stand in authority for that protection. Amen. You need to know the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you know it's his will, you can walk in authority.
Yes. Yes.
But if you're not sure if it's his will, your authority is a little shaky. Because his will's not coming out of your heart. You don't know if you're in his will. You might think you are. In fact, Wednesday was going to be really important about that, I think. But if you're not sure if you're in his will, you're not sure that this is really what we're supposed to do, then authority's not going to be alive in you. You're just going to be hoping for the best. You need to know the will of God before you even take a step into anything.
That's right.
Otherwise, you can't place a demand on darkness. If you don't know if you're in the will of God, if you haven't heard this is the will of God, you can't place a demand against darkness. Amen?
Amen.
So if Lucifer and a third of the angels were no match for the authority of God when they rebelled, if Satan and all the host of hell was no match for the authority of God and couldn't hold Jesus down, then would a man be any match for the authority of God? What about if darkness was moving through that man as the Grecian power would move on the nation against Israel? Would that be any match for the power of God? So in any area, in any realm, no matter where or what, darkness is no match for the light. Even the light that's in you and the light that's in me. You just have to remember, as I have to remember, that we need to walk in the light. The light to our path, the lamp to our feet, the will of God. We have to know it. We have to walk in it. These are not the days to be shaky and just to see, let's just see what happens. You may not like what happens. You need to know. Darkness is no match for the light, but you got to be in the light. Amen. God has declared things that cannot be changed. God has said things in his word that is absolute truth. But like everything, just like salvation, you've got to receive it to yourself. You've got to set your faith in it. Remember Hebrews, they that heard the word preached just like we did, but it didn't profit them because they didn't add any faith to it. So what's the difference between saying, I don't believe in that salvation stuff. Okay, so you don't get saved. Well, what's the difference between that or taking another step and being a believer and going, I don't believe in that Holy Spirit stuff. Or I don't believe in that tongue stuff. Or I don't believe in that healing stuff. I don't believe in that prosperity stuff. I don't believe you can walk in peace. I don't believe you can have a good life here on this earth. I mean, what's the difference? There's no difference. It's just another step. It's just another step of doubt and unbelief or another step of faith. And just like the faith to be saved, it said that we had the word preached to us just like they also. But it did not profit them because they did not add faith to what they heard. So this is not just like, oh, yeah, I believe in healing. Oh, yeah, I believe in prosperity. No, 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 no. Word, 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 word. It's believing the word preached. Because the word of God is the power of God. And it's only the power of God that will drive back the darkness in your life. It is the light of that word. No word, no faith, no power. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Let's just say this together. Go ahead and bow your heads for a moment and let's just declare these things together. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Nothing could separate me from the love of God. The Lord is my salvation. He is the strength of my life. Who shall I fear? I'll not be afraid of the multitudes, for the Lord is with me. The Lord delivers me from every evil deed. He'll bring me safely to the heavenly home. He delivers me out of the lion's mouth. The blessing of the Lord belongs to me because I walk in, because I practice the righteousness that I've been made to be. I do it continually and walk in this righteousness at all times. And if I should slip, I will repent immediately. And get back on the path again. The Lord is my salvation. He is my rock. Whom shall I fear? There is none. There is none. There is none that can stand against the power of the word of God, the presence of the Lord, his anointing, and his life in me. Darkness, you are no match for the light. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, don't just hear these things, but you've got to take these things and make them to become a reality in your life. That when you walk down the street, they will talk to you. When you lie down, it will keep you. It will watch over you because it's alive in you. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now to seal these things inside of each and every one of us in this room and on live stream, on podcast or Facebook, wherever we may be connected together. Anyone in the sound of my voice, Lord, I'm asking you that you seal these things within our hearts, that they will become a reality in us, that they'll become the meditation of our heart. They'll become the mutters of our lips. Lord, it'll be the thing that we think about and ponder, and that we will once again go over again. Holy Spirit, bring them back up on the inside of us, that as we give ourselves to you and spend time with you, that we'll hear these things again speaking within our heart, and we'll chew them, and we'll eat them, and we'll swallow them back down again, and they'll become stronger and more alive on the inside of us. And we will, Lord, at the point where it comes alive in us, speak out in faith and by faith. And the words that we speak from faith and from a humble heart will be heard in heaven. Lord, I thank you that you have angels ready to be dispatched, that they're listening for the word being spoken, and that they will come and they will minister for the heirs of salvation. For they hearken to your word and they are gaining strength in it. Lord, we thank you for that and bless you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that it speaks to us, it's ministered to us, and it causes us, Father, to want to press further into what you have in your life and in your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void, but it will accomplish what it was set out to do. So therefore, this word has come into our heart because that's what it was set out to do. We'll take it, meditate on it, and speak it forth from us, and it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish what it's sent out to do. Because it's by faith and by prayer that things will take place. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you with our giving, whether it be our tithes, whether it be our seed sowing or first fruit giving. Father, I thank you that your word, Father, declares promises over the tithe, promises over first fruit giving, promises over seed sowing, and it does not return to you void. We believe it, and that's why we act on it. And as we act on it, we declare what your word says over it, and that word will not return to you void, but it will produce the harvest and the reaping back into our life according to your word. And Father, I thank you that you bless us so that we can be a blessing. Thank you for it and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.